Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:38 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 18th. And there was a pretty substantial pullback yesterday, and there was an understandable knock-on effect in Asia this morning with the Nikkei down about 1.33%. But relative to the size of the decline that we saw on Wall Street yesterday, in fact, it was a reasonably modest response that we saw in Asia, considering that the majority of the Wall Street indices were down in the region of about 2%, that we could have seen a much more substantial pullback, and that didn't in fact happen. But the Nikkei was down about 1.33%. It is now pulling back from this 20,000 level. I think what we should look at is that the majority of those European indices were able to pair their declines at as soon as the US opened, because we had a pretty substantial rebound in the NASDAQ. So the DAX, for instance, having got all the way right down to that, and just below, in fact, that 12,500 level, bounced back pretty impressively. So far, this is nothing more than an equal-sized reaction, and in fact, the reactions have been very modest in the course of the trading so far this year. And really, a sustained move below 12,500 would be required to really question the consistency of the overall advance. But when we take maybe a bit of a step back, then we also can see that there is really quite an overbought condition. So it wouldn't be beyond the bounds possibility, and perhaps it is stretching into the realm of the more likely scenario, is that we're going to get a somewhat lengthier pause. That markets have done spectacularly well, and we are due something of a pause. The NASDAQ, having pulled back sharply yesterday, has regained about half of the decline and is up about 47. So it is not going down on consecutive days, and that is certainly a positive factor. I think a lot of people will be looking closely at how shares like Amazon and Google have been performing, because not only are they among the largest shares not only on Wall Street but the world, but and Amazon was up an additional $15 today. But I think that it is also worth considering what is the banking sector doing. That we're unlikely to see that it is that the political impact of what's going on right now is going to affect the technology shares. They're not overly influenced by whatever happens on Wall Street or indeed in Washington, but the banks are. The banks had priced in an awful lot of good news immediately after the election, and they were down sharply yesterday, but did not really rally by any discernible amount today. So the S&P 500 banking sector, of which JP Morgan is a member, has been largely range-bound since the beginning of December, and it is now testing this 275 area, which is the lower side of that range, and a break below it would also constitute a break below the trend mean, and it would signal that there is some additional risk being priced into the market. The VIX index, having really popped on the upside yesterday, gave up much of its advance today, so it did not close above the peak that we saw in April. So we can still say that this progression of lower rally highs remains intact, and this is the most recent of those. But considering just how inert volatility is right now, then the big question is how long is it going to remain so very low? We have been in a very inert environment, and very inert environments generally give way to more volatile environments. We saw something like that yesterday, and just because we did not have an additional uptick in volatility today does not mean that we're not going to have at least a return to a somewhat more volatile environment, not least because you couldn't possibly, I think, get any less volatile than it has been of late. This was a big day in Brazil. There has been a slew of corruption scandals, and just about every named politician has got some form of corruption attached to them. It is now stretching as far as the president again, and former presidential candidates. And Lula da Silva has been in court just in the last week and been rather defiant, and also signaling that he intends to run for president next year. This all constitutes a return to this political uncertainty. And the stock market has had a very impressive bounce over the last year and a bit. And it has outperformed the mining sector. It is back in the region of that 70,000 area, which represented an area of resistance back in 2008 and 2010. And this is a very clear downward dynamic. Not only that, it is a downside key reversal. And a downside follow-through next week would constitute a break in this medium-term uptrend, and would confirm more than short-term support resistance in the region of that 70,000 level. The fact that you've got such an enormous downward dynamic means that it is going to shock people, and it is the best that we could probably hope for is that we're going to get some ranging. At least the ranging would allow people to digest the impact of what is in fact going on. That political power vacuum could be opening up in Brazil, into which the socialists could march in terms of the potential result of a presidential election next year. And I think a lot of people would be asking then, what would be the outcome of any potential for reform, and most particularly market-friendly reforms in Brazil? The Brazilian real was also among the weaker currencies today, and the dollar just surged against it. It would suggest that this area around 3 reals to the dollar is about as strong as the real is going to get. And there is now the potential that this over it's almost a year and a half of a progression of lower rally highs for the dollar could be broken if we get additional upside follow through by the dollar next week. I mentioned yesterday that the RBI had been intervening in to try and arrest the advance of the rupee, and they had some success in here today. They don't particularly want to have the strongest currency in the world, and it would appear that now we've had this move in the rupee. It would suggest that we're going to get some pause and consolidation in the currency's advance. And then when we look at the Nifty index, it was down today, but the progression of high reaction lows is still intact. But I think, like so many stock market indices, we have these short-term overbought conditions, and these have done so very well over the last few months that the chances of at least some pause and consolidation are growing by the day. If we think about perhaps the H share index as an index that might be a proxy for some of the mainland shares, then it has had this progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2016, but its advance has been reasonably modest compared to the kinds of very impressive moves that we've had in other asset classes, or excuse me, other not so much asset classes, but country indices. But it has firmed from that psychological 10,000 level. It isn't overbought, and it isn't expensive either, with an historic PE of 8.66 and a yield of 3.5%. I think it would be a stretch to consider that this market is expensive. Of course, part of the reason that it's not expensive is because nobody is willing to give China the benefit of the doubt right now. But the progression of high reaction lows is clearly evident. These ranges are just about one above another, and it is firming from about where it needed to. Therefore, we can conclude that it is a reasonably consistent uptrend. Then, when we look at the commodity sector, I'm posting a report today from RBC that is at pains to highlight that the mining sector is cyclical, that it went down for 5 years, and that there is potential for additional upside because the industrial metals are still reasonably cheap, and there hasn't been any additional investment in supply increases. When we look at the London Metal Exchange Index, which is the six industrial metals listed in London, then it is in the region of the trend mean, and so is the FTSE 350 Mining Index. Rio Tinto and Glencore have generally similar patterns to both these indices. And we had an explosive breakout in 2016, and certainly a lot of that was short covering. I think it's unlikely that we're going to have a similar advance this year. But there is the potential for a more persistent but perhaps less impressive advance if we no longer see additional investment in supply, but demand continues to trend higher. And that is assuming that we're not going to have a recession in China. If that is indeed the case, then the uptick in growth that we're seeing in Europe and in the US and in Asia, generally, well, that should act as a tailwind for anything that is leveraged to global growth, and commodities are most definitely leveraged to global growth. So this is an interesting area that if this the medium-term bullish hypothesis is going to remain credible, then the mining sector will find support in the region of the trend mean, and the continuous commodity index, which is unweighted, so not overly influenced by what happens in the industrial metals complex, has bounced, but it really does need to hold that 400 area, and it was down somewhat in here today. The progression of lower rally highs is still intact. It needs to do better than it has done over the last four sessions to break that short-term downward bias. I think the one of the things that continues to weigh on the sector is the relative weakness of the soft commodities. Sugar was again in negative territory, having done rather well in the last couple of days. Then it has so far not been able to capitalize. It has not yet broken this progression of lower rally highs. That was London sugar, and this is the U.S. sugar. It has potentially got a rounding characteristic, but it needs to break out. It needs to confirm that it can break this progression of lower rally highs to confirm that a low is in. And there is also evidence that we might be getting some respite coming into the livestock prices, where they had rallied to break medium-term progressions of lower rally highs and had pulled back. They are both feeder cattle and live cattle are trading in backwardation, and this today was a reasonably firm day, but they need to be able to string together more than one good day on the upside, but rather get a few consecutive ones to break this short-term downward bias. If we can get an increasing number of the soft commodities doing better, then the chances of the continuous commodity index being able to hold that 400 level will be certainly improved. For a brief time today, the pound was above 130. It wasn't able to hold it, and but it. I think the more important point is that it has been very inert. That is despite the fact that we are in election season, something that was very clear to me being in London over the weekend and up to Tuesday afternoon was the debate about wages. Following on from what Mark Carney had said at the, I think, the announcement of the BOE minutes last week, that he anticipates that inflation will be higher and that inflation will be higher than wage growth. There was quite a lot of debate in a number of news outlets about the ability of wages to rise, and what was the new government going to do to improve living standards for the population. That is the very big question, and I think that will be part of the background for whatever is discussed in the Brexit negotiations. That the Conservative Party's manifesto was released today, and they're going to have to be very ambitious, and I don't think they can take anything off the table. There is the potential for the UK to embark on a very bright future indeed, but it is going to require some considerable courage to push through reform that is both business and growth friendly, and that is no small order. So that would suggest that the pound is unlikely to remain as inert as it has been. And the most important thing is that if it can hold this break above the 200-day moving average, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But the potential for a break back below it on political news certainly can't be ruled out either. And then when we look at the oil price, that we have had a short covering rally, and that has persisted in here today. It is coming back up towards the it's I guess middle of the range right now. It's coming back up towards the upper side of this range, but there still remains a downward bias. The easy part of the decline has occurred, and now it is I think, excuse me, the easy part of the bounce has occurred. Now there's going to have to be some sort of bullish news to push it up further. And this continues to represent a volatile, rangy environment overall, at least to my eyes. And gold prices, having done really rather well yesterday, pulled back somewhat in here today. I think the key level continues to remain that low that we saw last week. And as long as that progression of high reaction lows remains intact, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, or at least to additional higher to lateral ranging. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.